3 Farmington, 100.7 Gallup Grants, 88.7 Portales, 103.1 Santa Rosa, 99.9 Socorro, now bring you local news and information of interest to the Archdiocese of Santa Fe and the state of New Mexico. The Archbishop's Hour is brought to you from the Catholic Center here in Albuquerque. Now, here is your host, Mary Woods.
Welcome to the Archbishop's Hour, Catholic radio for the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, broadcasting on Relevant Radio to our New Mexico listeners in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe and the Diocese of Gallup. Through the leadership of Archbishop John C. Wester, we're here to share the message of the gospel and the work of the Catholic Church. I'm your host, Mary Woods, and our producer is Abed Archuleta, and we're both pleased to be back on the air with you following our Relevant Radio on-air pledge drive last week. Later in the program today, we focus on ecumenical topics with the Reverend Susan Quas, Executive Director of the New Mexico Conference of Churches, and Christy Cundiff, Founder and Director of the New Mexico Peace Choir, as we anticipate their upcoming September concerts. And today we'll hear a meditation on the day's gospel brought to you by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. But before we get to that and our announcements of the day, let's hear about our saint of the day.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 27th. Today we celebrate Saint Monica. The circumstances of Saint Monica's life could have made her a nagging wife, a bitter daughter-in-law, and a despairing parent. But her long years of prayer led to the conversion of her hot-tempered husband, her cantankerous mother-in-law, and her brilliant, wayward son. Monica is best known as the mother of that wayward son, Saint Augustine of Hippo. After learning of the immoral life he was leading, Monica experienced a vision assuring her that one day her son would repent. Praying and fasting for Augustine, Monica followed him first to Rome, then to Milan. There she met St. Ambrose, the bishop who became her spiritual director. She accepted his advice in everything and gave up some of the practices and habits that complicated her relationship with her son. Not long before her death, Monica witnessed her son's baptism by Bishop Ambrose. She told Augustine, "I do not know what there is now left for me to do or why I am still here, all my hopes in this world being now fulfilled." Monica died soon after in 387. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
We celebrate the memorial of Saint Monica today, the mother of Saint Augustine. She's an interesting patron. She is the patron of housewives, difficult marriages, alcoholism, mothers, widows, abuse victims, victims of adultery, and disappointing children. Wow, that's quite a list. And yet she's quite a saint, having survived and parented in the midst of tremendous difficulty and a tumultuous life. The gospel is full of woes today, and it makes sense, because what happens with the woes that happen in our own life determines our own spirituality in so many ways. The things that lead us astray can truly stop us from growing. Monica was steadfast. She knew woes, but she kept growing. And that's the challenge to come home, to not remain blind. The different woes in the gospel remind us of different things. First, the woe to you who lock the kingdom of heaven for people. Yes, we make it impossible because of a lack of mercy in our lives for other people to be welcome. A lack of welcome, a lack of welcome to the new and the different. A lack of letting go. That's so difficult in our lives. Another woe is the woe of those who force conversion. Our faith needs nurturing. There's an art to that. Forced faith is not going to work. It takes time in a family to nurture faith in our kids. Sometimes parents will say to me, "We're going to let our own kids decide about their faith." That's not nurturing faith. Faith needs nurturing. And woe is a difficulty of nurturing faith in the lives of kids. But we can do it and be steadfast in that, like Monica. The last woe is the woe to the blind guides. Yeah, to be able to truly see what we're doing, to see those who lead us, and to be led by those who truly see. St. Augustine once said, "Faith is to believe what you do not yet see. The reward for this faith is to see what you believe." We have to see the reality of our lives. We pray to deepen our faith, that it may be lived out more deeply, and that we may commit ourselves more deeply as a people of word and a people of sacrament. St. Augustine himself said his mother gave birth to him twice. The second time required a long spiritual labor made up of prayer and tears, but crowned in the end by the joy of seeing him not only embrace the faith and receive baptism, but also dedicate himself entirely to the service of Christ and the church. How many difficulties and woes there are in today's family relationships and in our own lives. How many mothers and fathers are anguished. We all need to come home, to repent, and to believe in the gospel and to remain steadfast. Blessed are those who help us on this journey to conquer the woes of life, to be born again like Augustine, that we may dedicate our lives to the service of the church and to the service of Christ.
You're listening to Archbishop's Hour, Catholic Radio at 98.9 FM in Albuquerque, 104.5 in Santa Fe, and 100.7 in Gallup. And we just have a little bit of time for some announcements to catch up with what's going on in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. First one right off the bat, Santo Niño Parish Fiestas, Labor Day weekend, August 31st through September 2nd in Tierra Amarilla, New Mexico. Friday, August 31st, there will be a quarter auction and silent auction beginning. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Auction begins at 6:30 p.m. in San Jose Parish Hall in Los Ojos, New Mexico. Concessions will be sold and a group of vendors raffling their products for quarters. A night of socializing, entertainment, and fun. It's open to the public. Everyone is invited. And there's also a note here about outdoor movie night, 8:30 p.m. at Santo Niño Church Grounds in Tierra Amarilla. Bring a blanket or a chair. Outdoor movie on the wall of the church. Concessions will be sold. And Saturday, September 1st, Money Bingo. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Bingo starts at 7 San Jose Parish Hall in Los Ojos. Guaranteed jackpot of $300. Concessions available. Sunday, September 2nd, 3-on-3 youth basketball tournament, 8 a.m. at Bobby Binion Memorial Basketball Courts. Then the Fiesta Mass at 10 a.m. at Santo Niño Catholic Church in Tierra Amarilla. And it's going to be a fabulous time. We also want to let you know that there's a class starting up for the Enculturation and Evangelization. This is through EIM MTS Graduate Theology courses, and that class starts August 31st, runs through September 28th. For more information on that, please contact Christina Spahn at 505-873-4399, 505-873-4399, part of the Master of Theological Studies program. Be there or be square. That's it for our announcements. We'll be back with my guests after this break. Please stay with us.
Catholic Charities agencies across the country enrich millions of lives each year. Caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and housing the homeless, we serve the poorest and most vulnerable regardless of faith. We are Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Santa Fe, a proud member of Catholic Charities USA. Visit ccasfnm.org to learn more.
We can be kind, we can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same thing.
And welcome back to Archbishop's Hour. You're listening to us at 98.9 FM in Albuquerque, 104.5 in Santa Fe, and 100.7 in Gallup. And I'm thrilled today to have some marvelous guests in the studio. always my guests are marvelous here in the studio. But today is the day we focus on ecumenical topics. And my guests are returning the Reverend Susan Quas, who is the executive director of the New Mexico Conference of Churches. Of course, the Archdiocese of Santa Fe is a member in a unique situation for the country. We're a member of the Conference of Churches here in New Mexico. And we also have a return guest, but it's been a long time. So happy to see her again. Christy Condiff is the foundress. We can say founder. It's all purpose. And director of the New Mexico Peace Choir. And I understand some of the conversation will involve Carnegie Hall. So pleased to have you both here in the studio.
Glad to be here, Mary.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's just marvelous, but we're going to start with Reverend Susan Quas, because she's got an overview of some things going on in the ecumenical world that she's going to alert us to.
Yes, Mary. I just wanted to let people know about the upcoming course at the Ecumenical Institute for Ministry here in Albuquerque. The classes are held often at the Abbey, at the Norbertine Abbey, and we have a class that's starting this weekend on the 31st. It is Enculturation and Evangelization with Keith Davis and Joseph Sandoval leading that course. And it's part of the program of the Masters in Theology courses that are available here. So if anyone's interested in taking one course, or if they're interested in going for a Masters of Theological Studies, that can happen here in Albuquerque. It's the only ecumenical higher education opportunity that we have here. And I'm just delighted to promote that. Joseph Sandoval and Keith Davis will do a wonderful job in helping people think about the many cultures that we have here in New Mexico, and how being Christian in this context can be more inclusive. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I encourage your students, your listeners, to become students at the Ecumenical Institute for Ministry. Their website is EIMNM, for New Mexico, .net, EIMNM.net. And that's really what I wanted to encourage people to take a look at. And then they can always sign up for our newsletter at New Mexico Conference of Churches. So it's nmchurches.org. Go to our website and sign up for our newsletter to learn about all the different happenings across the state.
Just amazing things. And of course, you are in the catbird seat for sort of what's happening throughout the state. A recent visit, I don't know if it's that recent, but I seem to recall a visit to the Mennonite community up in Taos, as well as other things going on around the state. It's really you and your office that keeps everybody connected in that wonderful communication line.
Well, I love doing the communications, but I also want to let your listeners know that most of the ecumenical work that happens, where churches collaborate with each other, is very, very local. In a little town somewhere, a couple pastors will get together, or the priests or the lay people will get together and say, we want to have a study, or we want to have a procession, or we want to do a joint choral event. So there's so much going on that we don't even hear about in our office, but we do try to share information about what's going on when we do hear about it, and invite others to participate. So it's a great joy to be doing that.
Well, I'm delighted to hear about these things and share them with all of our listeners, and also to have you here, Reverend Susan Quas. She's going to return to the conversation, but in a different hat, because Susan is also one of the beautiful voices in the New Mexico Peace Choir.
Thank you for that.
It's
an alto, too, and the altos are strong.
That you are.
We're going to shift gears, or just shift around the table, to introduce, again, Christy Condiff, who is the founder and director of the New Mexico Peace Choir. I'm tempted to say, Christy, what has transpired since last we met? But so much may have transpired that I hope you'll, one, mention right at the top, and then we'll come back to it later, what the next concert venue is and concert date for the New Mexico Peace Choir, and then we'll go back to what's going on, what the membership is, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But where's the next concert?
Well, we have three, actually. We're starting in September 23rd in Santa Fe. We'll be at James A. Little Theater again for a 3 p.m. matinee. And then the following weekend on Friday and Saturday, we'll have an evening concert on Friday and a 3 p.m. matinee at the Central United Methodist, which is 201 University Northeast. We're happy to return there. We were both of those venues for our last concert, so we're kind of like going home again.
I think the last time I heard, that's not true. The second to the last time I heard the Peace Choir was at Congregation Albert, maybe?
Yes. Okay, yep. That was two concerts ago.
It was two concerts ago. And then more recently, you sang at the Civic Plaza in downtown Albuquerque. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was just one of those moments where, you know, we as a choir kind of try to stay away from, I know we talked about this last time, away from the religious part, although I would venture to say that probably everybody in the choir has a spiritual base. But yes, we sang for the rally for immigrant children who are still being held at the border. And that felt like a bit more of a political move for us, but sometimes you just have to step out for humanity. That was just a human rights thing, and there we were. And we had probably, I think we had 60 singers that morning. There were probably four, I think the guesstimate was 4,000 to 5,000 people in the audience. And we were delighted to be there and be a voice to of peace, but yet of, we sang two songs that are also in our concert this coming next month. Fences, which is kind of a hit you in the gut, there shall be no fences. Hope is born when we decide there shall be no fences. Strong words. And Prayer of the Children, which is speaking for them. And they were a fitting duo for that rally.
The voices are beautiful, the choice of material, and it is the New Mexico Peace Choir.
Yes.
So even when we talk about a strong message, it's still enveloped in the concept of peace. In fact, tell us how that's operative in how you choose the music and what the mission is.
Well, our mission is very simple. It says by our intentions, by our actions, and by our voices, we will help make a positive change in the collective consciousness. We truly do believe that the songs that we sing and the energy that is created while we sing, both for us and the audience alike, helps make a ripple effect that somehow affects our spirit, our choices, and will help in a positive way to change this world. We don't necessarily go out all the time and sing for rallies, but we do remember the music. I mean, Susan will attest, these songs rattle around, and sometimes we make better choices as a result of the music that has infiltrated, if you will, our souls.
You've got an amazing repertoire, the choice of music that you use for these concerts, though I'm remembering a surprise element of one of the concerts I attended, and that was playing a fellow who we knew then as Cat Stevens' Peace Train, which was it was completely charming, and it also had a message of peace and kind of fraternity now, mm-hmm. Witnessing the fact that Cat Stevens became a Muslim convert.
Yes.
And practiced his faith and now continues to record. But the kind of prophetic voice of
this is true.
Everyone get on the peace train was really charming and wonderful. So tell us about the repertoire now and what you've got lined up for the next concert.
Well, this next concert is kind of a the best of. You'll see returning pieces. We will always sing We Can Be Kind. Every concert we will ever do in our lives will have that song. People are starting to sing along with us that have been there for several songs or several concerts. But we're picking songs that that we did in the past, some of the favorites from all of our seasons, mostly because we have 42 singers are going to Carnegie Hall in November. So,
and we have to learn that music, too.
Yeah, we have to learn that music. So we try to do kind of a best of so that we could get ahead of the game, perhaps.
Can I ask about how many voices on average do you have for the Peace Choir? Because it's more than 40.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have 82, 83 singers in the choir now.
Can we just stop for a moment for all of our listeners, for anybody who is not maybe in the habit of hearing live choral music with 80 voices? You know, their only reference might be seeing on television the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or one of those big choirs.
Right.
But there's, I would venture to say, there's a change in the physics of the room wherever you hear live music. That's actually
true.
Scientifically what's happening. But when you have 80 voices.
It's true.
What does that do to a
listener?
Well,
we did also bring some recordings that you can hear.
Okay.
That aren't live, but we
we're going to have a sample of the music.
Yes, you'll
fact,
hear a sample.
But there's a physical.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, like, I like that song and I got it kind of goosebumps. There's an actual physical change that happens with 80 voices thundering
through.
Not only
to the room dynamics, but also there is data that says that when people sing together in a choir, that their hearts sync. Their heartbeats actually come, and we are all singing with one heartbeat. Further data shows that the people who are in the room listening, if there is that happening, then their heartbeats link up with ours. So we have, the last concert, we had 800 people in our audience. And so, you know, you think about our 80 voices in the 800, and we're all with one heartbeat, and we're listening to this glorious music that actually does change. I can't help but think that it really does change this collective consciousness. It changes us. We go out feeling really good when we sing, when we come to rehearsals. We can be tired. We can feel pretty crummy and come to rehearsal. And after that syncing up, we always feel better. And people tell me after a concert that they can't believe how much better they feel, that they have renewed
energy,
hope.
Yeah,
yes.
And hope.
Yes.
So how do you pay 80 people?
How do I pay 80 people?
That would be
glorious, wouldn't it? No, actually, people pay dues to sing with us, and we figure it's kind of like a coffee a week or something like that to be able to sing with us. We have several who are on scholarship because we don't want people to not be able to sing with us for lack of funds. But
does that help pay for the music?
Oh, yes, because we are absolutely legit in all of the music. Every person has original scores. We pay licensing fees to perform and record the music that we sing. So we're 100% legit. We pay our accompanist a fair wage for Denise Bacadutri. She's so awesome. She plays for us, and she's really good. We pay her a wage. I get a salary. It's nice. We're one of the few choirs that I know that's actually been in the black since the beginning, and we're okay. So we're starting to branch out in what we can do now.
Now, Reverend Susan mentioned that there are recordings. Do you post any kind of or share recordings of the choir anywhere?
Yes. In fact, we were just looking last night. Our website, nmpeacechoir.org, has snippets of things. But Facebook, New Mexico Peace Choir, has a lot of stuff that we've done.
And how would we find that?
If you just go to on Facebook and spell it out, New Mexico Peace Choir, our website is different. It's nmpeacechoir.org. But you can find a lot of stuff, a lot of information, a lot of sound, a lot of comments on both of those places.
How long has the Peace Choir been in existence, and do you still have singers from that beginning?
Absolutely. We started December of 2015. And we have singers who've been with us the whole time. I mean, we're 2.5 years old. We're not that old in the scheme of things, but our trajectory, we started with 52 singers. We're 82 or 3 now. We went to Europe last summer and represented the United States in the World Choral Peace Festival, which was fabulous. We had 35 singers there, sang at the American Embassy in Prague, the Czech Republic, sang in St. Barbara's Cathedral in Kutná Hora, the Czech Republic, which was where we sang the Earth Song, which is kind of our recurring theme, the song that was my dream, that with the window, if you might recall. We found the window, we recorded that song, and that was up on our website, and a scouting agency from New York was looking for American Peace Choirs and thought that song was our audition piece without us even finding them for the invitation to Carnegie. So it's been...
And now you'll have to explain the invitation to Carnegie and when. We know how you get to Carnegie Hall, and that's practice. when will you be going, and how many singers will be going with you?
I believe it's 42 singers at this point. We are singing November the 11th, which is Armistice Day, Veterans Day. We're joining choirs from around the world again to sing the premiere of Patrick Ha's The Great War Symphony. And it sounds kind of like a peace choir singing for a war symphony, but it is in remembrance of Armistice Day that they were hoping, and had we learned, it was the war that should have ended all wars.
Who is the composer again?
Patrick Ha's, H-A-W-E-S. So it's about how merrily we go into war, and then the realities of war set in and how devastating they are to life and everyone that it affects, and that it's not a happy thing. And surely we can learn.
We can learn.
And not
to do
this
something
anymore.
Different, yes.
Now, when you sing this, when the New Mexico Peace Choir sings on November 11th at Carnegie Hall, the Great War Symphony,
yes.
Will the New Mexico choir be singing alone, a part of it, or
no.
Will that be in conjunction with several other choirs?
Several other choirs and individuals from around the world.
And the total is
200 singers.
200 singers, a full orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, will you be there singing?
I will be there. Yes.
Right. Yay. So you're
It'll
preparing
It'll be my first
now.
Trip with the choir, so I'm excited.
Wow. Sounds amazing. What is that like? What is the challenge like to learn your material and then realize that you're going to be jumping in with many people from all over?
For me, it's going to be interesting because I'm teaching the sopranos and altos their parts for the Carnegie experience, but then I will be singing in this group as well. We're hoping to have, in fact, we're hot on the lead of a concert of our own in New York City as the New Mexico Peace Choir. And that will be hopefully very much fun. But to be able to be on that stage myself, and I sang with the choir in Europe last summer, to look out from, you know, the Vienna Concert Hall, oh my gosh, with the Vienna Boys Choir and hundreds of people out there listening, to be a part of that experience. I love directing. Don't get me wrong. I love to direct. It's kind of my soul. But I know there will be a moment when I'm standing on the stage at Carnegie Hall looking out and going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I am a part of this thing.
And tickets are on sale.
They are.
Now. So we've invited all of our friends and family to come to Carnegie Hall and hear this amazing music.
Wow.
What a trajectory.
I'm looking for that New York special airfare to see, you know.
That's right.
what a good destination to make the concert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's been an amazing journey, starting with, you know, 50 people as a starting choir is huge. And we were so excited at our first concerts to have, I think we had 250 or so in Albuquerque, 125 in Santa Fe, and we were jumping up and down. We just could not believe that many people wanted to come hear us. And every concert has gotten more and more. We're getting a following. And
and then we sang for the Balloon Fiesta.
Oh, we did. We opened.
We opened.
We sang the national anthem at the beginning at the dawn takeoff, and then we had a full hour concert, you know, full concert on the center stage, which was crazy. I mean, there weren't 1,000, there were 10,000 people. No, there were like 150,000 is what I heard on the ground.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily paying attention to us, but we were there and we did this, doggone it.
And as the choir members, we really tried to focus on our director, Christy, and not on all the balloons going up all over.
Which was the best
seat
in the house.
She trains us very well.
I know that we have access to some music here, and I'd like to ask Christy, when was this recorded, the selections that
last
you had
last Tuesday.
And is this music for... coming up for the Carnegie Hall?
Yes. Not for Carnegie Hall, but for our concert in September. We were trying to get a press packet together that would have both audio and video.
All right. So this is a little sampling of what people can expect for those two concert dates in Albuquerque, September 28th and 29th, and in Santa Fe on September 23rd. We'll give you more information on them. But this is just a little idea.
Just a little teaser.
All right, of what you can expect from the New Mexico Peace Choir under the direction of Christy Condiff. And that was a selection from the New Mexico Peace Choir, a little recording to give you a teaser of the upcoming concert. You can hear the New Mexico Peace Choir Sunday, September 23rd, in concert in Santa Fe, 3 p.m. at the James A. Little Theater on Cerrillos Road, or in Albuquerque, Friday, September 28th, 7 p.m., or Saturday, September 29th, 3 p.m. Those are in Albuquerque, and they're hosted at Central United Methodist Church on University Boulevard. There is a general admission cost, also senior and children's price tickets. For more information, you should go to nmpeacechoir.org, nmpeacechoir.org, because these are going to be delightful. Christy, can people buy tickets at the door for these concerts?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Though it's always urged that people buy tickets in advance.
It is easier, and then you can get there early and get a seat.
Yes, it is open seating, so you do want to get there early.
All right. So, and Susan, you're singing in all of them. I want to turn to Reverend Susan Quest for a moment. She's here as not only the director, executive director of New Mexico Conference of Churches, she's also here as one of those beautiful voices in the New Mexico Peace Choir. But you have a kind of an interesting vantage point. You're an ordained minister and a singer, and you're part of this experience that is, it's like the broadest ecumenical experience anybody
can join. It's people of all traditions and people who have their own personal tradition coming together to sing. And I have to say that it is spiritual practice. Joy, for me, is the surest sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in this work together, we practice joy. We practice creating it for ourselves, for the whole choir. And I just want to encourage your listeners to think about how they find joy in their life and how they share it with others. And for me, I was looking for a choir when I moved here to Albuquerque, but when I found the New Mexico Peace Choir, it opened up my whole soul. It's really an incredible practice. Christy, our director, Christy Conda, she has us memorize the music. And part of that is so that we can really express the joy with our faces. So not only are we singing these joyful words, but she helps us embody them with our whole bodies. And as she said, when we sing together, our heartbeats beat as one together. And it is a practice of being one with the whole human family in joy. And I don't know anything deeper. It's a great, great practice. And also, as people of faith, as Christians, we need to experience times when we are with the whole human family, and we learn from people of other traditions and people with different professions who can teach us about the practices that are important to us, whether it's the practice of prayer or joy or silence or justice making, whatever that practice is. So it's an opportunity to be deepened in what we hold most dear by teachers that come from all walks of life. So I just
I can't say enough about the New Mexico Peace Choir, about our director, Christy Conduff, and our accompanist, Denise Bacadutri, and how they teach us to not only sing words, but embody them in our bodies and in our faces. And it is such a joy to be here, to be doing this work. And it is a ministry to the community. We, in our concerts, people leave really uplifted. And sometimes, particularly now in these days, people are looking for hope. There is a lot of destruction. There is a lot of discord. There is a lot of anger. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of injustice in our world today. And to be able to offer this, not only the weekly practice of coming together to practice this music, but then the concerts and when we go to other venues to offer the music to a wider audience, it is a great, great ministry, and to lift people up in joy.
Well, you've just kind of refined a particular point, I think, that one could receive from our discussion today, and that is the participants of the New Mexico Peace Choir. They've got their hearts and souls in creating this beautiful music and performing it, but as always with performers and an audience, the audience, though they may think it, the audience is never actually simply a passive blob, you know, absorbing energy that's put out. The all live performances become a dialogue. Whether audiences understand or believe that or not, it doesn't, the energy change doesn't just wait for when you applaud at the end.
Oh no.
So to be part of this as a listener, as a witness, is really active participation. And so the possibilities of it being so uplifting are, I mean, that's the, I think, the coolest invitation right there, is to invite your spirit to be part of this amazing and concert, and you don't actually have to do the work if you're in the audience. You just there, you're there for the payoff. How lazy is, I'm sorry, I didn't. Well, our participants are, you know, the audience, they are active participants. But it's this mutual exchange of joy that's really, there's nothing like it, is there?
There is nothing like it. And I remember one time at our last concert, I introduced most of the songs and tried to bring the meaning that I have that comes to me and help bring the audience closer into the next song, what's coming up. And I remember there were so many people. It was just this ocean of faces, and I was speaking, and there was not one movement out there. They were all just looking at me, and I had this little thing in the back of my head that went, oh my gosh, what are you saying? And I was like, I don't know. People are so in tuned with what we're doing. They want to be there, and they're listening, and they're taking it to heart. And it's this circle, this energy thing happens. It starts with us, and then it envelops the people that are in the congregation, and it becomes this living thing. And it's important. It's important what we're doing. It's a safe place for people to come. It is a safe place for the people to sing. And something happens. Something happens. That's, you may call it spiritual. You might call it magical. I don't care what you call it. Just come and have that experience with us.
It seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're going to be pretty busy between now and the end of September putting on these concerts in rehearsal. And then, of course, the preparation for the November 11th concert at Carnegie Hall. Tell me the name of that concert again.
It is called the Great War Symphony.
That's the piece. What do you call the gathering of all of these other choirs around the country to participate? Is it the Great War Symphony concert? Is that it?
It is that. There are actually two concerts going on that evening, but actually
and it's
this
the U.S.
year,
premiere
yes.
of that piece.
It is
the U.S.
premiere
wow.
of that piece.
Okay. But that's sort of the name of it is a whole bunch of choirs get together and do the...
It's the U.S. premiere of the Great War Symphony.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So if somebody was going to, you know, go shopping online for tickets to Carnegie Hall for that date, that's the thing they would be looking for.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
how many
there
choirs?
Are two pieces of music, so that symphony and another piece will be included in the one ticket.
Oh, I see.
I believe. Yes.
Okay.
But I
and
don't...
How many choirs do you think will be there?
Well, there are 200 people. I know that
200 singers.
200 singers. So it's this crazy thing. The press thing went out, and it's like my picture's in a program for Carnegie Hall as the director. It's like,
yay!
Mind blowing for me. Very often, what's going on? I think there were 8 different choirs, and then there are individuals that tried out that I want to sing with this group at Carnegie Hall, and they tried out, and they're part of that too. So, around 200 singers total. So 42 is a pretty
good
percentage.
You've got a fifth of the entire congregate choir.
Yes.
That will be singing at Carnegie Hall November 11th. How amazing. I'm just enjoying this so much. And, of course, New Mexico is represented with great voices. But that sounds like things are going to be very busy from now right through November. When might people inquire if they have voices that they want to raise with the New Mexico Peace Choir and they'd like to join? Who do they inquire with?
Well,
when might they do it?
The next season will start sometime in November or December. I haven't quite. In addition to all of this, I'm still trying to get the music ahead for the next season, so I'm recording that as well. Yes, I'm busy.
Yes, Christy records all of our parts so that we can learn them. So
if you're driving around in the car, we can
listen to our music.
So I would suggest that people somewhere in November, after our concerts in November, go to our website, nmpeacechoir.org, and there will be a tab for new season, new members, all of that information. We had auditions for the new people this season because exponentially, if we keep growing at the rate that we could, there's not any place where we can actually perform in this city. The stage becomes difficult. It becomes a really pricey thing for us to find a place where we can have 80 plus singers on a stage. And it becomes starting over every season with new voices and having, 100, 120, 150. On the one hand, yeah, I want as many people singing about peace as I can possibly grab to sing about peace. The director part of me is going, Christy, what are you thinking? It's hard to wrangle 80 voices. It's harder to wrangle 100, 120. So it's this, we don't know quite how to manage that growth. What a problem to have.
It is a great problem to have.
It is
and
a wonderful problem to have.
We have been basically a non-audition choir up until this point. And one of Christy's gifts is that she brings people on board who have extensive singing experience and can read music, and those who don't read music. So
I was just
going to
ask,
memorize the music and memorize our parts.
But so far the level of music expertise is. I want to ask you what is required of your singers now, because I'm under the impression that not everybody sight reads.
I would say that for maybe 15% of the choir sight reads or reads music at all. What I'm looking for in a singer is someone who's teachable, someone who can sing on pitch and continue to sing on pitch for whatever part they're singing, who has the ability to memorize this music. It takes some people not much to memorize music, and others. Our age range, when we have a children's group that sings with us, they're not joining us for this coming concert, but our younger singer, I think, just turned 4, and our oldest singer is probably 82. And everything in between. So how much effort it takes is a personal thing. It's easier for some and really difficult for others.
But it's not required that somebody have a master's in performance art and music to be able to sing with the New Mexico Peace Choir.
No, in fact, the operatic people who come in with all their gusto, we're probably not much of a fit for them. I like to work with people who don't necessarily have that much training so that I can get them to have the sound that we need for this group.
Christy is an amazing director and teacher, and our accompanist Denise Bacadutri is also. So we get a lot of training, and I know that my singing has improved just in the year and a half that I've been part of the choir. So come if you really want to learn something new.
All right. So people, if they are really moved and would like to audition for the New Mexico Peace Choir, they should wait for notices or go shopping for notices in December after this big concert season that you've got going on that will culminate in November 11th at Carnegie Hall. Very cool. How cool is that?
We but do I understand, need volunteers.
I was just going to ask right. about volunteers. Yeah. For those, you even have a place for those whose voices may be not quite on pitch or a little rusty, but there are things for them to do. Hit it, Susan.
Well, this is for our upcoming concerts. We need people to work the front of the house, to take tickets and help usher people and that kind of thing. And I think we need people help with setup. So, Christy, mm-hmm. tell us a little more about what volunteers
even helping
we
parking.
Need.
We, you know, getting parking for that many people coming in cars is a trip. We call it the fifth section. You know, we've got the soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. The fifth section are those people who do everything else, and we need them. We need probably, at last count, I think we heard 10 more people in Albuquerque would be really helpful. We've got merchandise to sell, and people need help getting into into a seat, and there's just so many things to do. So if people volunteer, we do have a free ticket for those people who volunteer. So that's one of the bennies of coming
How
and helping out.
How do they contact you to find out about volunteering for either the September 23rd concert in Santa Fe or the September 28th and 29th concerts in Albuquerque? They want to volunteer for, mm-hmm. you know, logistics and get a free ticket.
Yeah.
Who do they contact?
They would go to our website, nmpeacechoir.org, and there's a link, secretary, and she will put people in touch with who needs to be in touch.
All right. And the nice part about volunteering is that if you have a tight schedule, you don't need to practice
for no. months at a time and memorize the music.
Yeah, you need to be able to follow instructions probably on the evening.
Yes.
And you can kind of be a part of the whole movement.
Yes.
Of the New Mexico Peace Choir.
Funny you would use that word, because that has been, we're not just a choir. We have become rather that a movement. It's different. There are lots of choirs in this city, but we have this mission, this movement. It's kind of unique.
How would you articulate that? I mean, let's face it, that's a mean question. Ultimately, if you're the New Mexico Peace Choir, it would behoove people to go and listen to and become part of the experience of
yes.
a performance, and they'll get the message. But if you had to articulate like a little short discussion of mission of the New Mexico Peace Choir, what is that?
I think it was our treasurer who came up with the quote that said that an army moves on its stomach and a movement moves by its music. And people are affected. We can touch climate. We can touch all manner of subjects and touch the heart in a way musically that may... Have I ever told you the story of We Can Be Kind? Do I have a minute here?
I think you should share that with us.
All right. We have, again, our signature piece. Very first season that we sang, I didn't know one of our singers very well. She's been with me the whole time. But the song was running around in her head. And she was on the train, I believe, from Santa Fe to Taos. And a homeless person came on the train and was clearly a homeless person, and everybody in that car was making groans and rude comments and getting up to leave, and indeed did leave the car. And she was about to follow suit, and she remembered the words that we can be kind. And instead of leaving, she sat down across from this gentleman. And homeless people, as a rule, they're kind of used to be either they don't exist or they're treated badly. And so it took a while, and she sat down across from him, and he finally raised up his eyes, and she caught his eyes, held contact, and smiled. And she said that the story always still makes me cry, that his smile could have lit up a room, that in that moment it changed her. She doesn't know that it changed him, but she gave him just a slight bit of humanity back. And she just saw him. Mm-hmm. And to be seen and to be heard and to be felt. And she would not have done that had she not had that song in her heart.
She had the experience of a kind of a perspective that is articulated. It's not the same as having to study something in a book or, mm-hmm. or for that matter, you know, hear a great speech on it. But the experience of music conveys a message in this case. In the broadest sense, New Mexico Peace Choir conveys peace.
Yes.
And absolutely, it's so important. We cannot think of peace as just the absence of conflict or war. Peace is what this woman did and what this homeless man did. It is opening ourselves up to one another and embracing our full humanity together. And so it is an active practice, the practice of peacemaking and being in peace with one another. Shalom comes to mind, that wonderful full word of peace and well-being for all. So it is, the New Mexico Peace Choir is a movement because it's about changing our hearts and moving us together to embrace the full humanity.
And it's not just in New Mexico that this movement occurs through music.
No.
It's global. Can you just give us, Christy, that little reference again to the concert that you brought your
the
voices
World Festival,
to?
The festival.
The festival last
in
year.
Vienna.
Because that... You had choirs from all over the world.
Yes.
This is not just a new kind of lovely idea of, oh, let's have a peace choir and we're so happy and levitating. There are people with this intention through music all over the world.
There are. And interestingly, we are one of the only peace choirs in the United States. I don't understand why there aren't peace choirs everywhere. We're if we're not the largest, we're the second largest in the U.S. already. And...
Can you remind us again of some of the other countries that were represented in Vienna?
Oh, my gosh. We had the Netherlands. We had the Ukraine. We had China, Japan. We had, Eastern Europe was there. We were I think there was a choir from Mexico, if I recall. I mean, it was just, and they were mostly children. We were the older ones, which was really cool because we have pictures of, you know, our 80-year-old, you know, we're taking selfies with these little tiny people from China and Japan, and they're all so excited to see us.
And the Vienna Boys Choir.
Yeah, not to mention the Vienna Boys Choir. What an experience to hear them.
And you were under the direction of the director there.
It was. Gerald Wirth is the director of the Vienna Boys Choir. And it was, for me, such a wild experience because I was singing under his direction, and I cannot tell you how many times people in my choir turned around with their mouths open going, oh my gosh. They found that his direction and my direction has enough similarities that they were going, oh my gosh, and it was like we had no idea what we had, which was really nice to hear, really nice. And I recognized a lot of his technique. We share the same things.
We want to do a quick note here. Can you give our listeners, if they're not familiar with the Vienna Boys Choir, they are the boys choir who, I want to say they were trained to sing at the Vatican. Did I make that up? I might have crossed wires there, in which case I can edit. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about
that. I'm not sure.
We'll check that out.
But they are truly world-renowned.
Yeah.
The musicianship of those young men and of their pianist and of their conductor was just inspiring. Beautiful voices. Beautiful voices. Unchanged little soprano voices in the boys. It's just gorgeous to watch and to hear.
The experience that is global of peace choirs coming together,
mm-hmm.
To sing together for, you're singing a concept that does not have to be kind of limited to political intention or geographic intention, patriotic intention. It is a human intention.
Yes.
That is this movement is about. Am I close?
You're
Do
very
I have
close.
That right?
Yes. Yes, it's true. And I think we all recognize that, you know, you've heard the sayings, music is the universal language, and it is actually true. You can sing songs that you don't understand the words. We're doing a song called Nella Fantasia. In my fantasy, I dream of a world where there is justice and there is peace. And people won't understand the words, but they will understand the feeling of it. It doesn't matter if the music and the intention is shown in the voice and the faces. You can feel it, and you will get it.
And everybody shares this. It's truly beyond politics.
Yes.
And beyond regional associations. It's the connectedness of humankind.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the human heart. And we've been, I would say, we've been created to respond to each other as one human family. And so when the choir sings and when Christy conducts us and she invites us as singers to have a conversation with her as we're singing and as she's conducting, then we have a conversation with the audience. And it's very, very powerful.
Well, we're cruising into our home stretch today, and I just want to remind folks that if I hope you're inspired by our little clip of music today and also the conversation, to go and listen, to go and be a take part as an audience member at the concerts of the New Mexico Peace Choir. The concerts coming up are in Santa Fe, September 23rd. At 3 p.m., that's a Sunday, at the James A. Little Theater, 1060 Cerrillos Road, or in Albuquerque, Friday, September 28th at 7 p.m., and Saturday, September 29th at 3 p.m., also in Albuquerque, at the Central United Methodist Church, 201 University Boulevard Northeast. Echoes of Peace is the theme of the concert. There is a cost for tickets, and there are general admission, there are seniors, and children's tickets prices. For more information and to get your tickets, please go to the New Mexico Peace Choir website, nmpeacechoir.org, nmpeacechoir.org. Get your tickets in advance. Get them at the door, but definitely it's an experience to soothe our hearts in these interesting times we live in. The New Mexico Peace Choir, the only mission is joy, and that's what those voices share.
And just to lift up that children 10 and under are free, and while the music, some of it will be very soothing, a lot of it will be very uplifting and toe-tapping, and there may be a little dancing in the aisle. So bring your children as well.
All right. Thank you so much to my guest today. We have Christy Condiff, who is not only the founder but the director of the New Mexico Peace Choir, and Reverend Susan Quass, who is a singer with the New Mexico Peace Choir. She also just happens to be the executive director of the New Mexico Conference of Churches and always brings us that ecumenical perspective every month. So such a delight to have you both here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to Archbishop's Hour Catholic Radio.
We can be
For the past 60 minutes, you've been listening to The Archbishop's Hour from the Catholic Center in Albuquerque. Join us Monday through Friday, noon to 1, for The Archbishop's Hour, discussing with our guests and audience issues of importance to New Mexico Catholics and all the people of God. Thank you for listening and supporting Catholic Radio.